Regular listeners know that I'm a big fan of mountain biking at night, and having a reliable bright light is crucial. Glowworm is a mountain bike light brand founded almost a decade ago by two mountain bikers in New Zealand. Today, the company offers some of the most customizable, highest quality bike lights on the market. Glowworm's complete line of lights start at 1200 lumens and range up to a blinding 3400 lumens, all at reasonable prices. There are a few things Glowworm does differently that makes their lights unique and highly customizable. The optics can be swapped at home depending on the types of trails you ride, and their lights use standard GoPro style and quarter turn mounts. Many of the Glowworm lights work with a bar-mounted remote, which can be used to control one or more of their lights at once. Right now, Glowworm is offering 15% off all light systems on their website with the coupon code SINGLETRACKS2020. Go to glowwormlights.co.nz. That's glowwormlites.co.nz. Or click the link in the show notes to take advantage of this offer. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Single Tracks podcast. My name is Jeff, and today my guest is Ben Turritz. Ben runs a coaching business and sports therapy practice called the Endurance Collective. He's joined us here on the podcast a couple of times, and we're stoked to have him back to talk about strength and fitness training in the time of COVID. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be back, man, especially now in this kind of weird time.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking back, like, I feel like we haven't talked about COVID and coronavirus on the show here. We were talking about it a lot, like, initially, and then we've kind of, I don't know, we're all tired of talking about it, honestly. So hopefully, hopefully this will be something, though, that's like, not just about COVID, but it's about, you know, how to keep up with our training and our fitness, you know, during times of stress and times where like our schedules are different or they're all out of whack and sort of, yeah, how we can deal with that.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, there's so much rough stuff going on out there right now. It's nice to kind of look at things through a positive lens and have something to look forward to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we'll talk about that for sure. Cause for a lot of people, yeah, it's racing. And with that not happening, let's just jump into it. So how's your fitness holding up during the pandemic? Have you been able to get out and ride and train and do all the things that you usually do?
Oh man, the crazy thing is, you know, once I got through that initial phase of mourning, the loss of all the things we kind of know, I started training. I mean, I was putting in time like back when I was racing as my job.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
20-hour weeks were not uncommon. And I was, you know, able to use our office was closed. So we were using our office to lift and then riding every day. And, you know, fitness wise, it's been great, you know, and as businesses reopened and started to pick back up, I'd say we settled more into a normal cadence of, you know, a normal working human, maybe 10 to 12 hours a week of riding for me at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting because I noticed that too. A lot of people seem to be like in the first few weeks of the, you know, lockdowns and the pandemic, like people were getting out a ton. And I guess, like you said, maybe their work wasn't, you know, happening as much or like they were off work while they're figuring out what was going on. But yeah, we've slowly kind of gained back some of the responsibilities that we had before. And yeah, so I'm seeing that too, that people were doing a lot initially, but maybe some of them now are not doing as much.
Yeah, it was crazy to see, you know, I saw it specifically on the mountain bike side of things. Trails were crowded, man.
Yeah.
You know, our local trail systems were pretty overloaded, which led us to explore some stuff in areas where we really didn't ride before. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, some issues came about because of those overloaded trail systems. So there's kind of that balance between, wow, it's great, we've got all these new riders, and holy crap, I'd love to ride my trails like I normally do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's lately been about getting out early, you know, 6 a.m., getting out before the sun comes up. And yeah, because otherwise there's a lot of people out.
Yep. Which is great. You know, I hope, you know, if 20 to 50% of this stuck around after COVID, man, you know, those kids grow into their mountain bikes and go through college, and then, you know, their demands for trail systems may spur us some new trails in our later years.
Yeah, it's like the baby boom, but it's the bike boom.
Right.
So what are some of the challenges that the cycling athletes that you work with are currently facing?
It kind of runs the gamut. I mean, one of the biggest things is that, you know, my competitive racers, especially some of the pros I work with, obviously the race calendar has been, you know, completely shut down or dramatically reduced. The elite road team we work with, their season basically was just completely canceled.
Mm. Was it all at once though, or was it sort of like, oh, we're going to postpone this? And so then you start like training for the fall, and then you get to the fall and it's like, nope, that's not happening. Like, or was it, yeah, we know like this year is shot, so we're going to come up with a plan B.
I'd say in February, it was strange how it came about, because in February we took the team down to Georgia to race this race called the Tour of the Southern Highlands. And we did that race, and that's right when everybody was looking at each other like, what's going to be next? COVID's coming. And I think the next week, that was like the last normal thing we did. And the next week, stuff started to get canceled, and our next event was in Arkansas. And that was postponed and then canceled. And then we had a couple of international races that were canceled. And, you know, I'd say about early May, when things were really kind of ramping up, is when basically everyone just shut, you know, the UCI kind of shut the door on stuff, and both mountain and road was just completely shut down. It was a bummer for, especially for some of the we had a couple of people who were racing on the World Cup circuit, and, you know, they age out of these things.
Right.
The Olympic athletes, you know, thankfully they didn't have to requalify. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of our juniors are no longer juniors next year.
Yeah.
So they missed their opportunity to go do this one race in Canada that we take people to. And, you know, it's just, it's tough for them to maintain that motivation. You know, we talk a lot about intrinsic and extrinsic motivators in coaching. And, you know, a lot of people just ride their bike because they want to race. And that is their sole motivator. And those people are really struggling right now. You know, and for me as a coach, it's hard to, I've run out of Strava segment motivations at this point. Yeah. And you know, individual pretend races to do, you know, and so, you know, some of them are actually being pretty successful at racing on Zwift. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, we've had some athletes that, man, haven't really ridden their bike since June.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we've got some athletes that are absolutely thriving right now. They're like, well, this is what it is. And there's no excuse for me to be hurt. There's no excuse for me to slack off on my strength and core exercises. I'm going to crush the stuff that I might have to set aside sometimes because I'm in race season.
Yeah.
So yeah, a little bit of everything.
What tends to like account for that difference? I mean, is that something, is it just people's personality, or is that something as a coach that you can like try to help people work through and like get to that point where they, you know, see it as an opportunity rather than, you know, a challenge or an impossibility?
I think a lot of it has to do with what motivates the athlete to be in the sport. So, you know, I'm big on, you know, you better enjoy the journey. If you're going to be a racer, there's so many more things to racing than just racing. And if, you know, the athletes that really are having a tough time right now are the ones that just want to race. And that may just be because they're young and they haven't gain the discipline to understand the ancillary parts of being a racer. Mm-hmm. And it may just because, you know, that's what they feel like defines them. But the athletes that are doing really well are the ones that love to train. They love all the little components that make them a good racer. Mm-hmm. And the race is just like the little cherry on top.
Yeah.
You know, they're nailing their training. We've had lots of conversations about, hey, it's okay if you miss a day because you had a bad day.
Yeah.
Everyone's struggling at some level right now. There's some struggle going on and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, do you think overall like athletic performance suffers without competition? You know, in a normal year, we would see races with like national and international caliber athletes pushing each other to new limits. But, you know, the races that have taken place this year have seen sort of incomplete fields at best. So do you think that affects sort of people's performance? I mean, you could train just as hard as any other year, but without the competition, are people getting better?
It's a good question. I would say without the competition, one of the things that I see immediately is the increase in incidences of injury.
Interesting.
You know, and I think it kind of runs through all sports right now, you know, because we work with lots of non-cyclists too. And, you know, one of the biggest things we see right now is runners coming in left and right with like Achilles injuries and back pain. And, you know, a lot of it is people biting off more than they can chew immediately. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most stark examples, if you watch football, is looking at the NFL right now and the high incidence of injuries because there's no preseason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so there's been a ton of ACL, MCL tears, you know, again, Achilles injuries. And it's because the body wasn't prepared for that elite level of competition. Mm. And I think it's, you know, cycling certainly isn't a high impact sport, but I would say, you know, you saw in the couple World Cup mountain bike races and world championships over the last couple of weeks, you know, the field was flipped with the exception of Pauline. It wasn't Nino Schurter. It wasn't the people we're normally used to seeing at the top.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, if you really got into the weeds on who was there, you probably find out it was the people that were thriving on their training in times of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, there were certainly some big time athletes I know that were struggling during COVID because cycling is their community, mm-hmm. and they didn't have access to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely think it has taken a toll on competition or performance.
Yeah. Yeah. When you mentioned injuries too, I mean, a couple things came to mind for me. I mean, one, everybody is feeling stressed by this, you know, whether it's work or having kids home at school or, you know, doing school from home. And so a lot of injuries that I tend to see from friends and people, a lot of times it's stress, you know, like just like your body is like tense. But then the other thing that I was just thinking was like, maybe, I mean, do you think athletes, if you have like a race on the calendar, you're like, okay, next month I got my big race and you're training, like you're going to be somewhat cautious, right? Like you're not going to be taking risks and things like that in your training, or even just you're like, I'm going for a ride for fun because you know you have that race. But then if you don't have that, do you think people are taking these unnecessary risks or maybe, yeah, like you said, training too hard?
The answer is yeah. Like I definitely have seen some athletes be like, well, you know, I don't need to worry about that set of jumps or something like that, you know, because I don't have a race coming up. So, you know, I'm just going to send it.
Yeah. Why not? I'll try it out, see if it works.
Right. And sometimes that, you know, somebody just learned how to clear a double correctly. And sometimes that ends up in a broken collarbone. But, you know, it really, again, it kind of runs the gamut. Like I've seen a bunch of people who are just like, well, that race is gone. I'm just kind of going to do coffee shops without the motivation for racing, you know, yeah. Coffee shop ride after coffee shop ride. And then some people are, you know, and myself, you know, I would put myself in this bucket as I was riding too hard too often. And I was like, man, I'm a coach. I would be mad at me if I were coaching me.
Yeah.
You know, because I just, you know, like you said, Jeff, the stress of this whole thing is, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. What's going to happen next week? I don't know. Well, you know, gonna ride really hard. You know, it kind of takes that stress away.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. I was going to ask. I mean, rest and recovery is definitely an important part of an athlete's training plan. So it sounds like you're benefiting from this sort of forced rest in some ways. Are other athletes seeing that as well?
Yeah. You know, I actually have a couple of athletes in particular, one who had been struggling with concussions and another one who was dealing with a knee injury. And COVID was like the thing they needed to be okay with taking time off and recovering.
Yeah.
And it was so hard. It was like my easy button to get them to just take it easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're doing great right now. They, you know, both of them are ready to race again. There's just, you know, not a whole lot going on. But, you know, I mentioned the, kind of, there's no excuse to be injured right now if you're taking this seriously. And you know, it's been a great learning opportunity for some of our newer athletes, learning to treat rest and recovery like it's as important as their intervals. You know, a recovery ride is just as serious as, you know, 3x10 at threshold. It's just as important in your training cycle. And, it's been easier for me as a coach to push people a little bit further beyond that so that they crack and they can kind of realize, hey, oh yeah, this is what it feels like to overdo it. And there's no risk of, well, I have a race in 2 weeks and I overtrained this athlete, and they can't come back from it now.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. You can try different things that, yeah, maybe you weren't willing to risk it because you did have a big race coming up, and yeah, now you can kind of experiment a little bit.
Absolutely. There's been some experimentation going on with some of our athletes, and, you know, and one of the things I've really worked on with people is dialing in their off the bike, especially mountain bike stuff, strength and conditioning and, balancing off the bike. And I've always been a big proponent of stability exercises mixed in with your strength and conditioning. But this is really, you know, it's been one of the fun, if people can find a yoga ball on Amazon, getting them to get a yoga ball or a Bosu and doing some really fun balance stuff to help how they perform through a rock garden, or, you know, how they land off jumps, all of that stuff is very important as a mountain biker.
Yeah. What are some of the other sort of positive things that athletes are able to see during this time? I mean, it seems like for weekend warriors, for example, like you're not commuting to work, and so you have an extra hour or two every day that you could potentially use for training. And it also seems like people are, you know, maybe they're not like dining out as much, and so they're eating a little healthier. Like, are there things like that that you're seeing with your athletes during this time?
Absolutely. The eating piece is a big one. You know, kind of learning how to control, they're learning how to, I hate the word diet, but,
healthy eating.
Healthy eating and making it sustainable. Having people that work from home cook on, you know, put a menu together on a Sunday evening. Shop for that menu. And, you know, then you have sustainable meals for the week, and you can cook ahead of time so that you get up and you go and ride, and then you come back and you got food.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I was only thinking about eating out, but I'm sure for a lot of people, it's like you get off work and you're like, I don't have anything at home. Go by the grocery store. What can I get this easy to just like make really quick because I'm hungry? But yeah, now we're all planning it out, hopefully, and saying, I'm only going to go to the grocery store like once a week. And yeah, I could see that would have a really positive impact.
That's been really big. And also preparation. Some people, even with not commuting to work, are working actually harder. I think there's an expectation now that you're home, you've got your kids, you're trying to manage. And
right. Yeah, you have random breaks now, but yeah, it still takes up your whole day.
Exactly. You don't have that 2 hours after work or that hour after work. And, you know, I know some people are probably scowling at me right now, like 2 hours, who's got that? But You know, one of the things I like to stress is that the night before, lay your kit out, get all your stuff ready, get your bike ready, and you save yourself 20 or 30 minutes sometimes, you know, searching for that left arm warmer and you know, looking for your shoes and you know, getting your suspension set up and all that stuff. That's all done. All you have to do is come home, ride your bike.
Yeah.
And that builds this like healthy behavior pattern that kind of trickles into other things you do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it just makes it easier to do the thing that you like to do.
Yeah. Well, I imagine, I mean, a lot of professional athletes, are they pretty well organized and plan things out? Or is that why they hire you? Is because they're like, you know, left to my own devices, I'm not going to do this, but you're going to give me a plan and I can stick to a plan if somebody comes up with it for me.
I think so. One of the things I like to kind of stress with the pro athletes is, you know, I want to help you. I'm not the gatekeeper of all the knowledge. Like I want to teach them and challenge them to ask me why and build their knowledge so that really eventually they don't really need me anymore, mm-hmm. but they want me around because I'm that objective voice. You know, I have some pro athletes that are, you know, they were engineers or they are engineers and man, they love a good spreadsheet. and their day is pre-programmed. Then I have riders who are like, oh man, I forgot to brush my teeth on Wednesday. I'm just remembering that on Friday.
You're like, Ben, why didn't you put that on my schedule?
Yeah, why was that not in my training peaks, man? You know, I'm going to get a cavity. So it's the mentality of the rider. I actually have a good crew right now that are pretty organized and a couple who weren't and really during the pandemic have really focused on getting organized because they have, you know, they're new pro mountain bikers and they've realized that they've had to, you know, one of them has a kind of a high stress lab job where she's actually researching COVID right now. And, you know, she's only got max 2 hours a day to do all of her training. And so everything has to be prepared on the front end. And, you know, once that's figured out, there's, you know, the same amount of hours in the day, but they're just used more efficiently. And, you know, you can actually end up building some downtime into your day.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I imagine there are a few athletes out there who are just so naturally gifted and talented that, you know, they don't need to be organized. But I imagine most of the successful ones, they are really serious about it and really organized and do a lot of planning and preparation like you're describing.
Absolutely. I can't remember. I'm going to paraphrase this quote horribly, but, you know, it's like amateurs talk tactics, professionals talk logistics.
Yeah.
And that's really important, you know, and I've seen that both from the athlete side and the coaching side is if you get the logistics nailed down, the tactics come easy. Mm-hmm. You know, training comes easy. It's the stuff that you don't want to do. You got to get that out of the way and nail that down. And that's what makes the other stuff look dialed in and feel dialed in.
Yeah. Well, we kind of talked at the beginning about how the race calendar has gotten all mixed up this year. And, you know, it seems like a lot of training plans would normally be based around the idea of peaking for a certain race or a certain event. So how are you dealing with that? Like, is it possible to move toward like a flexible training plan? And is there an advantage or disadvantage to doing that?
Oh man, this is the ongoing struggle right now. You know, because I do have some athletes that, you know, some endurance races have popped up and they're, you know, relatively safe to do. Because you can basically you're gonna end up socially distant. I've had to be super flexible with training plans this year. So it has been a big challenge to manage peaking. And we've done a lot of just high level endurance work, And for newer riders, that's been really good because, you know, they may have only had, you know, a couple, 3 years of base underneath their belt and in a serious way. And now they're able to really boost that up and have a lot more volume without the risk of overtraining. Yeah, some riders, we're not really peaking. We are going through kind of mini peaks. So, you know, peaks and valleys of fitness that aren't extreme on either end. And then we've had a couple of, we had this one triathlete in particular where he was going to race the big North Carolina triathlon, Beach to Battleship, I think it was called. And you know what? He just wanted to peak for that race. And we ended up actually putting on a one-person triathlon for him. You know, and I went out on my paddle board and he swam around me. And then, you know, his coach and I, you know, drove in front of him and around him and his bike leg. And,
wow,
you know, it was just kind of a fun day for him. And he had put so much time and energy into it. Uh-huh. You know, we just wanted to kind of reward him for all that work he did.
Right. Yeah.
So it really depended on depends on the personality of the athlete. I think I'm fortunate enough right now with my group to have a bunch of people who, you know, are pretty cool with using this year as a way to kind of boost their overall fitness. Hmm.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a question in my mind, and this is more just like a general question, but like, is a race, like running a race or a competition, let's say it's a bike race, and, you know, really going out and giving it everything you've got, like, are you building fitness when you do that? Or are you actually like damaging your body in general? Like I'm thinking about this triathlete guy, and he peaked for this race, but then when he went out and did it, like, why was he doing it? Was he doing it to like improve his fitness, or was it, yeah, like you said, more of just like a reward? You know, it's not really going to help your training, but it's, you know, it's what it is. It's a competition.
Yeah. For that athlete in that specific sense, you know, that was kind of that was the end of that block for him. You know, after that, he kind of went into a valley and he's still recovering from it. You know, yes, races can certainly add to your fitness, depending on how they're programmed in.
Okay.
There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people treat races like that's the end all be all. I'm a big proponent of, you know, you kind of have to pick your target races.
But like, if it's the last one of the season, like, and you just, you know, just nothing is left at the end, are you damaging your fitness or your muscles or whatever? Or are you still like, you know, is it still beneficial?
Yeah, it's still beneficial. I think a big part of that benefit, though, maybe a bigger part, maybe mental. You know, it is, there's always an experience component to it, especially for a new athlete. Every race you should learn something from. And whether that's a physical or a mental thing, those experiences are always very important. As far as the physical aspect goes, If we time that peak perfectly, mm-hmm. they're done after it. You know, it's like you're putting out pro numbers one day, and then a few days later, you're just struggling to ride with amateurs. And you should be. You should be done.
Yeah.
You get to a physiological point where your body's like, it's time for a rest.
Right.
And you see that in micro cycles of training and macro cycles of training. Mm-hmm. You know, right now is the time, kind of the end of the time of year where, you know, with the exception of cyclocross racers, I usually give riders about a month off. And that doesn't mean off the bike, but it means no real structure. And they're usually coming off, you know, they could be coming off worlds, they could be coming off a national championship event, but this is pretty much the wrap up part of the season. And, you know, they take that time and I encourage them to go do something other than ride bike. Yeah. I keep saying paddleboarding, go surfing, go hiking, you know, get into your reading for a month. You know, remember what it's like to be a normal human. And that's kind of like, it's like hitting the reset button. You can't just be a bike racer all year long. Eventually that'll catch up with you and eventually you're going to burn out. And I was talking with a rider last week who is, you know, we were discussing whether one of her sponsors hosts a big kind of charity ride, 200 mile charity ride next weekend. And she was like, should I do it? I really feel burned out. Mm-hmm. And we decided that she was going to volunteer at it instead and she's going to help out. She's going to, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and, but she needs that time for her to relax and not be on the bike, because otherwise that's going to bleed into next season.
Yeah. Well, for this next question, I need to add a caveat that I'm definitely not a health professional, a doctor, a scientist, any of those things. And not to sell you short either, Ben, but I don't think you're any of those things.
I'm not a doctor. I cannot prescribe anything.
Okay.
And I cannot diagnose anything.
Right. That being said, I do want to ask you what you're hearing in terms of the risk to athletes who might be infected with COVID-19. It seems like athletes and folks who are physically fit tend to fare pretty well with the disease, with the virus. But we've also heard there might be these like long-term effects like heart damage or lung damage, especially if folks continue training while they're sick. What's sort of your understanding, or what have you been hearing about this? And what would you advise your athletes if they asked you if they should train?
So first off, I have kind of had this conversation with each individual athlete, and we've gone on a basis of do what you're comfortable doing and don't put others in danger.
Yeah. And it's good to ask this. You're saying too that you're asking this before they have it, right? Like, this is a good conversation to have before you're like, well, I'm sick now. Now what do I do?
Yep. Now what do I do? And most of the science points to that. Younger, fitter people in general do better with this. The caveat being, you know, some people have suffered some longer term respiratory damage. I think we saw our first collegiate athlete pass away from COVID a few months ago. I think he was a football player. You know, he didn't have any pre-existing stuff going on. So that's, you know, it's certainly troubling. And I, as a coach, am very much erring on the side of my personal opinion in terms of, you know, training and competition is group rides are kind of out for me. Competing in events that are mass start events are not safe. And that's my personal opinion. And it seems to be, you know, I do voice it to my riders and they all seem to be pretty much on the same page. We will ride in groups of two or four. Outside riding, fine. We always ride, you know, we bring masks with us because there are certain parts of our local community where it's required to, you know, if you ride through the Duke campus right now, you have to have a mask on.
Okay.
But, you know, I've just stressed, have compassion for others. You know, if you see somebody out on the trail who may not be doing something that you're comfortable with, just stay away from them.
Right. Don't try to convince them or have an argument about it. Yeah,
exactly. There's a lot of, you know, everyone's on edge right now and everyone's, you know, a lot of people have their opinion. I want the people I represent opinions to be based in science and fact. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's the most important thing. However, you know, I'm not somebody who has completely isolated themselves from the general population. And we do have people we work with that are like that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I think it's so important right now to have compassion.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what other people are going through. You may, you know, an athlete may be doing that and you don't know they have some sort of autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're just not comfortable with it. And I think we all need to be okay with people being more cautious. Mm-hmm. there should be no penalty for taking less risk.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's always the thing that irks me about this whole thing is, you know, why would I be angry at a rider who is choosing not to do something because they're afraid of, you know, I don't want to get COVID. Sounds horrible. You know, I've talked to a couple of riders now that I know that have gotten it, and it was pretty horrible for them. And I've talked to a couple of riders who have gotten it who didn't even know they had it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I had the flu, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, and it was awful. You know, it was one of those things for, yeah, like a week. You know, I was on the couch and it was miserable. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. If there's a way I can avoid that, then I'm going to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I'll admit too, I have a weird thing where I like, if I ever feel like I'm coming down with a cold or something, like I'm about to get sick, like a normal run of the mill cold, I'll go out and go for a run or like a hard bike ride. And for some reason, like a lot of times that makes me feel better. I don't know if the fresh air or what, but yeah, with this, you know, just based on some things I've read, I'm kind of cautious about doing that. They're like, oh, maybe in this case, you're actually could be doing damage to your body in some way. So it is hard with all the uncertainty to know exactly what to do.
One of the risks of being an endurance athlete and potentially being in that overtraining area is that you actually do weaken your immune system.
Hmm.
You are really putting stress on your body. And so, you know, there could be some risk if you are really putting in, you know, if you're a person that's riding 300, 400 miles a week for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
it could be dangerous. My opinion on this is just having general overall health right now is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gets back to what you were saying about recovery as well, rest and recovery. And yeah, this is a time to do that whenever you can and be safe with it. So are you seeing more of your athletes attending virtual classes and workouts using apps like Peloton in place of their group exercise?
Well, so I have a group that are doing, they're actually one athlete who has made probably more money racing on Zwift than he ever has as a, you know, actual racer.
Huh. How is he making money? I'm not familiar with this. Are there like prizes or like people betting or like?
Yeah. There's some Zwift, the actual Zwift leagues with cash prizes. He's a UK dude, and yeah, he's not to say he's making $1,000s. He's making tens of dollars, but he's really doing well with it. And you know, it'd be one of those things where we've discussed. Yeah, are you going to be a virtual racer from now on?
Yeah,
we were doing alignment yoga at our on Instagram Live at the beginning of the pandemic for about 3 months and. And man, we got so sick of it and you could see the numbers start to dwindle, you know, and it got down to, you know, the people who were just using that as their only thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think, at the beginning, people were doing like all of the classes,
right?
They were racing to, you know, trying to race together on Zwift, and they were doing these challenges and, you know, doing the free yoga classes and Peloton and all that stuff. And now it's like, man, I just want to go outside. So, you know, and who knows what's going to happen when the, you know, we're a week away from daylight savings. And, you know, that may change for some people that don't have the time. But yeah, I've definitely, you know, kind of seen a peak and then a valley of virtual training.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we're hearing that a lot of the like bike sales are going crazy and bike shops are super busy. And we're hearing that part of that is because people used to do like these indoor things like a, you know, spin class. And so now that's not happening. So they're getting outside and working out. But yeah, like you said, who knows what's going to happen once daylight savings hits and, you know, it's dark. I mean, maybe bike light sales will go up. I don't know. But do you think people in your field, are people getting more comfortable with working with you as a remote or sort of virtual coach? Is this like tech adoption accelerating sort of your field and people wanting to work with a coach like yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, coaching's been great lately. We've got 6 endurance collective coaches, and they've all been, business has been good for coaches, and it's a lot of new athletes, especially on the running side, people who are just getting into structured training.
Yeah.
And they are comfortable with the virtual stuff. We do a lot of, I talk with almost all of my athletes once a week, good old fashioned on the phone style. Mm-hmm. We've certainly done a lot of creating Google Drive folders for people and making sure all of their workouts are in a place where they can access them. Mm-hmm. And we've also started working with a couple of other local businesses that, we have a local physical therapist that we do some work with, and mm-hmm. linking our businesses so that, I can have a seamless transition between, what I'm doing on the bike and what they need to be doing for rehab. Mm-hmm. That ends up in one place. And because they're having to communicate with this person in Chapel Hill and then me in Durham, and instead of having that space between us, we're all kind of conversing in one space, and that's really helpful. I think that's been the biggest challenge with the virtual space, is making sure nothing's getting lost in translation, and mm-hmm. we're all kind of communicating at the same pace and in the same space, so everybody is aware of what's going on with an athlete.
Yeah, it sounds like if you're able to put that all together, it can be super convenient. And not only that, you can get even more insights into your athletes if you're hearing what their physical therapist is telling them and that sort of thing. So yeah, it sounds like that's accelerating.
A lot of it is, people just want to talk to people right now. The lost art of conversation. I've been having conversations longer and longer with athletes, like people who were pre-pandemic were just like, yep, felt good week, this, that, and the other thing. And now it's like, and we did this, and, then we're going to go up to, and I'm learning all, it's kind of fun. It's kind of nice. I'm getting some additional layers to some of my athletes that I didn't get before.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Ben, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about training and how training is really how it's evolving during this time, and giving us a glimpse at sort of where it's going to go even after this is all over. So thanks.
Oh, you bet, Jeff. It's been really fun, and I hope to get a chance to chat with you again.
Absolutely. And you can connect with Ben or get more information at theendurancecollective.com. That's all we've got this week. We'll talk to you again next week.